Praise the Lord. You know, bro, he said beautiful broken air, but it has changed a lot over the years. It's really becoming nice downtown. How many of you have noticed that downtown, the locals, that downtown has changed a lot? You know, but let me tell you what, anywhere you are with God, it's beautiful. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to just talk to you tonight a little bit about some stuff. I might call it one of the greatest things you can do is help others. You know, on Wednesday night, I like to try to give you something that you can walk spiritually and in the natural side. You ever notice that people who are busy helping others are most of the time very happy people? You know, helping someone when they need something, it just seems to add a sense of worth to your own life. You know, helping others just doesn't make a difference in their life. It does something powerful and positive in our own lives. Booker T. Washington said, "Those who are the happiest are those who do the most for others." Abraham Lincoln said this, "To ease another's heartaches is to forget one's own." You know, helping others is valuable in the natural and in the spiritual realm, both, on both sides of the fence. You know, helping somebody on the job is often the one that gets looked at favorably by those in charge. You know, you hear in the sports world, basketball, football, hockey, soccer, all of it, you hear of them talking about the older veteran players helping those young ones that are coming in that are going to take their place. You know, in church, God works through people to help somebody else. You know, sometimes God moves supernaturally and he enables a person to help others because of supernatural. But other times it's just quietly you do things for somebody else because you are aware of a need. In fact, the Bible tells us to do that. Says if you see a person in need, help them. Anybody, I'm paraphrasing what it said, but anybody ever read that in there? Now, Paul did have a supernatural experience in Acts 16:9. It says, "That night Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia, northern Greece, was standing there pleading with him, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there." Now somebody said, "Well, man, I would help anybody if I had a supernatural experience." Well, the truth is, there's not always a supernatural. Now, sometimes you will have it. Sometimes God will tell you to do something for somebody. But if you look at another instant in Paul's life in Acts 9:23, it said, "After some time, the Jews plotted to kill him. They were watching for him day and night at the city gates so they could murder him. But Saul was told about their plot. So during the night, some of the other believers lowered him in a large basket through an opening in the city wall." Now, there wasn't nothing supernatural about this. Those people just realized that if they wanted to keep Apostle Paul alive, they had to do something. And my thought is that we need to remember that we're all in this together. Now, around here, we call ourselves the Rhema family. And I am thankful that we help a lot of people through the We Care Center. In fact, Bill was just telling me that we've been helping a lot of our own people. That's why new people don't know that I started the We Care Center not to help an outsider. God told me to start it to help people in the church back in the, I believe it was in the late 80s, early 90s, whenever the oil industry here in Tulsa, I mean, it just nosedived. There were oil engineers and people that without jobs. In fact, one guy, he told me, he said, McDonald's was hiring a fry cook, and I went and applied, and they said, we can't hire you, you're overqualified. He said, I don't care if I'm overqualified. I need money for my family. I'll work at the job. And that, I was praying, and the Lord told me to start the We Care Center. And it's, we do minister to a lot of outside people now and pray with them, but it actually is for you. If you have a need, we want to help you. Now, it's not a welfare system. It's just a help you till you can get on your feet again. You know, but there are times that we can help others because we see that they are in need. I've done it many times. You know, back Lynette and I at one of our anniversaries just recently, we saw an elderly couple come in, and they were celebrating an anniversary, and we noticed that after they sat down, and it was a really nice steak place, and because, you know, thank God there was a time I couldn't have went there, but thank God I was in a position to go there. But I noticed that as they begin looking at the menu, that they begin talking, we noticed, and they ordered one salad and half did, and they just ordered one of everything and half did, and we noticed that. And Lynette said, let's pay for their meal. I never seen them before in my life. Don't know who they were. Somehow they found out who we were. They found out our name, and they wrote us a letter later thanking us. But we paid for their food. Never seen them before in our life. And you know, it felt so good. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, and how many of you were around here when we did that deal? You're a very important person. How many of you were here then? And where, if you're going, you'd pay for somebody's food or going through the drive-in, you'd pay for the people behind them, and you'd leave a card and tell them they're a very important person, just wanted them to know it, and then it said Rhema Bible Church on it. Man, people had so much fun doing that. It was a great, great time. I think we need to get to the point that we quit thinking so much about ourselves and start thinking about others. You know, there are times when God has clearly spoken to me and told me to give a certain person's amount of money or do something for a person. But there are other times because I see that there is a need and I just go ahead and take care of it. You know, in life, people set goals all the time. And a lot of times, some of the goals we set are so we can be accepted. Sometimes it's so we can have a more satisfied life for ourselves. And sometimes it's a goal we'll set will make us when we accomplish that, it makes our life more successful. But we should set goals to help other people. You notice those first three goals are about our own well-being, and hey, we need that. But that fourth goal is focused on others. On others. Now, suppose you were walking with a group of people, 10, 15 people, and you're walking across an empty field, and as you walk across the field, you begin to hear somebody calling for help, sound like a child. And you keep walking there and you find that there's an open well and the child's fallen into it. Well, you get a rope tied around your waist and you tell the rest of the people, hold on to this. And you go down and you grab a hold of the child, and then when you give a pull on the rope and they pull both of you back to safety. Now, who's responsible for the saving that child's life. Everybody. Because everybody had a part. You know, success often is a group effort. People working together making a difference. Rhema Bible Church can do nothing unless God helps us, and we all work together to help each other. You know, heaven will be the only place that will ever reveal the value of us joining together and helping others and ministering to others. You know, I tell this all the time, but that Sunday school teacher that I had when I was 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, what they call the junior class, he had no idea that one day I would be the head of a worldwide ministry. But he was faithful doing his part there in the church. And because he was doing his part, I was able to be what I am today. See, what we realize is that each of us have a responsibility in this church. Each of you have a responsibility in your natural life. You know, it's not the size of one person's efforts. The impact is made when people come together. Henry Ford said, coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success. You know, I see this church and I'm thankful for this church, but we're in a position now that, you know, we need a lot of people to get involved. The telephone prayer partners, that's a ministry of helps. You call it volunteers, but the Word of God calls it ministry of helps. And it takes all of us working together, the ushers, the parking lot attendants, those that are doing the right now, the varsity and the junior varsity youth, those that are working with the children. Hey, it takes all of us. And some of you used to do something, but now you're just sitting back. No, you need to stay involved. Somebody asked me the other day when I was going to retire. I said, never. I said, I may step back a little bit. You know, it was really enjoyable then, the Wednesday night, 2 weeks ago, I think it was?
Last week.
It was really enjoyable to sit there. You know, I told him that. I said, man, this is sort of fun. I don't have to preach tonight. Craig's got it. I mean, I've been doing this for 62 years. I haven't preached as much this year as they did, but 2019, I think it was, I spoke 172 times. I keep a log of the date I spoke, where it was, and what the time was. You know, I just keep a log, not to see, but if I ever want to know what I preach somewhere, if I'm going back to that place, I can look and see if I ever preached that sermon there. But I found out something, even in my own church. I can take a sermon I preached 2 years ago and preach it, and y'all don't even realize it. I dress it up a little differently, you know. But I want to talk about three things tonight. Working together brings value to each one. In 1 Corinthians 12:20, and you know where I'm going with this. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest and the lead and least important are actually very necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those that we clothe with great care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require special care. So God has put the body together such as that extra honor and care is given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all members care for each other. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Paul is using the human body here to describe to the church at Corinth, and it works for us too, that the body of Christ in the church is compared to the human body. Everybody, every part of the human body is important. And every individual in the church is important. They have a role to play. Now, thank God for Anthony and all of these guys and these musicians and all the rest of them. We got a whole bunch of them around here. You notice there are different ones up here. You don't want me up here singing. And I know you don't want Tony up here singing. Now, Tad can sing. And I don't know about Brother Bill. I don't know whether he sings or not. In the shower. I think that's what he said. But you see, each of us have talents that we could use to help edify other members of our body, our church body. How many understand what I'm talking about? To grow and accomplish something, everybody has to be involved. If this church is going to grow, if we're going to do the job that God wants us to do in evangelizing and ministering to our city, then we all got to be involved. We all are needed and valuable. I don't care whether you don't think you are or not. We all are. We all need to be involved in the different groups so people get to know who you are. Sometimes people say, well, don't nobody ever seem like they know me. Well, what do you do and what group are you a part of in the church so you can get to know people? One time one person said to me, said, well, it don't seem like anybody knows who I am. I said, are you part of any of the link groups? Do you go to the school of the Bible class? Oh, no, I just come in and sit down on the pew and then get up and leave. I said, yeah, that's why nobody knows who you are, because you're not being involved in. Do you come, if we have a social, do you come? Oh, no, I'm not much into that stuff. How do you expect somebody to know who you are if you're not involved? Come on now. See, everybody, I don't care who you are, everybody has something of value to contribute. In all areas of life, in sports, in business, in the military, in the medical field, in the home, and in the church, people have to work together to make it successful. Y'all quiet. Because you don't like it, because I'm telling you, you're going to have to go to work. You're going to have to get involved, because that's what God wants. Now, sometimes people see obstacles in getting involved, and they back off. They say, oh, I don't want any part of that. The object of any game you play is to win, and it takes every team member doing their part to win and to doing what they're supposed to do. You know, it takes everybody doing what they should have to do. How many of you some of the message, ever bought any of the message CDs of our that we preach around here, different people preach? Do you realize how many people are involved in making that happen? I have to speak it if it's me. They have to make sure back there that the sound is coming through, and they have to make sure it's being recorded back there properly. Then they have to take that master and they take it down to the media department down in that building down there that we call the warehouse or the shipping and receiving and the garage and all that. And they have to, now they gotta listen to it and make sure that everything is, there's somebody that listens to it and make sure that there's no gaps. If there's a pause, they can take it out and all of that kind of stuff. Gene Whitaker usually does that stuff like that. And if there's a mess up on a word with what we've got now, if I mess up a word, if I've ever said that word on any other recording, they can take that word and plug it in there and you don't even know it. That's why it's so good. It's perfect because, but now that master has to go over here and the guy has to know what it is. And then he has to put in the labels so it can be labeled. Then there's a whole big stack of CDs, yeah, here on the machine. They start it up. They leave. They start those machines. They leave and go home at night. When they come back the next morning, they're all recorded. Then they take them, and they got to run them through the labeler, and they label them. And then somebody's got to put them in the packager, in the package, and then they put them ready for bring them up here, or they take them in the shipping and receiving, and people write in and order. That's the way it happens. Now look how many people was involved. Our books that we print, it takes lots of people involved. Takes, first of all, they have to take it and transcribe it from what I said, and then an editor has to take it and put it into speaking form is different than written form. How many of you realize that? Now somebody's got to edit it, put that all together, and it's got to be all put together with the type fonts and all of that kind of stuff. Then it has to go, to the printer, but somebody has to design a cover, and then it goes there, and it takes a bunch of people getting involved. I'm using those examples to try to show you to make this church operate. It takes all of us. It takes all of us participating in the offering. No matter how much or how big or how small it is, if everybody contributes, and we have seen what have happened with our Isaiah project, you see what happens. If everybody each week just does what they can, over and above the tithes and offering, you see how much we've been able to do. I was at a minister's conference one time, and they were talking, and they said, if every member of the church, if everyone paid their 10% tithe, the church would not lack for anything. And that's a known fact. But it takes all of us. It takes me. Now, you see, as I was talking about, working together is valuable to each of us because it's valuable to us, but then it helps us to help others. And working together multiplies what we can do. In 1 Corinthians 4:3-9, when one of you says, I'm the follower of Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, aren't you acting just like people of the world? After all, who is Apollos and who is Paul? We are only, and I like this, it's Paul talking, we are only God's servant through through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted seeds in your heart. Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting, who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants, the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field, and you are God's building. Now, what had happened here, the Corinth church had got all divided, and some of them, like in some churches today, if certain preacher not going to preach, they don't come, you know, cause like around here, we got several on staff here. Okay, if I'm going to preach, some people be here. If Bill's going to preach, some people might be here. If Craig's going to preach, some of the younger people might want to come. If Denise is going to preach, or Tad, you know, some people say, well, I like them better. I like so-and-so better. Hey, it doesn't make any difference. We are all working together for the same thing. That's what Paul's trying to tell. He said, you know, some said I come from Apollos, some said I come from Paul. They let their preferences divide them. Paul was trying to get the Corinth church to realize that they are a team, and if they're effectively going to build the kingdom of God, they got to all work in it together. You know, I don't know how many times I've been in places, you know, traveling through the years, and so, and they say, well, I thought so-and-so was going to go on some conference. Well, I thought so-and-so was going to preach. I don't like the guy that's going to preach. And I told this guy, I said, listen, if you'll sit down and listen to what he has to say, you'll learn something. You know, we get fickle on who we'd like to hear. And we, of course, we all have our favorites, but we need to learn how to listen to everybody that's speaking the word to us. That's what Paul was trying to tell him. You see here, every person has something to contribute, I've said. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Are you a part of the team working together to help accomplish what Rhema Bible Church wants to accomplish? Or you're the lone ranger that stands on the sideline and criticizes? Team players build each other up. Lone rangers aren't willing to pay the price to be a part of the team. Team players get involved with wherever they can contribute. You know, I noticed the other night I was watching one of the football games, and the kicker missed the kick. Well, when he came back to the sidelines, everybody was over there hitting him on the shoulder and telling him, "Hey, it's okay. We can overcome this. Don't worry about it." See, they were encouraging. But around sometimes in a church, if somebody messes up, all they want to do is talk about them. Any of you guys ever struck out, and if you'd have got a hit, you'd have won the game, or missed the last shot, or dropped a pass in the end zone that would make you win the game? Anybody but me ever done that? I got some more help. You know what? When I went back to the dugout or the bench or wherever I was going, the rest of the team may say, "Hey, it's okay, Hagen. We it's all right. We'll come back. We'll come on. It's okay." When a person messes up, they feel low anyway, so no use kicking them on down. See? John Wesley, if you ever read some of John Wesley's journals, it's sort of interesting reading. He said, do all you can, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. Did you get a hold of that? He's saying, hey, do what you can do. The Bibles, if you look in the Bible, you see that people needed people. Moses needed Aaron. David needed his mighty men. Jesus needed his 12 disciples. Paul needed Barnabas. That's just a few that I can name. You know, this might be a little funny, but remember, Batman needed Robin. The Lone Ranger needed Tonto. Hopalong Cassidy needed California. Come on now. I know that's funny, but what I'm trying to do is wake you up and get it across that we need each other. Team members check up on one another and help each other. Most of you sit in the general vicinity. You usually sit the same general vicinity every time you come to church. Am I right? Raise your hand if that's right. You sit in the same. Hey, if you happen to notice that somebody that's usually there isn't there for a couple of Sundays, you should check on them. They might need some help. In a large place like this, that's how it becomes a small place. Everybody checking on everybody else. Sometimes people wonder how I know some things because we haven't been able to go to the door, but I would ask them something. It's because all of these associates have to report to me people they talk to, who they visit, who's in the hospital, and so far, who lost a loved one? Why? So that when I see them, they can know that I am concerned about them, concerned enough about them to find out about them. We all should be that way. That's how the body of Christ should work. When you're going through something, other team members should be there to help. They support each other. The law of synergy says that when two or more people work together, the results is more than what each individual could produce separately. By working together, we double our efforts, I should say, I guess. When we work together, we multiply the amount that is accomplished for God. Now let me get one more here before it close out because it's getting close to time. Working together allows God to move in our midst. John 14:16 said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. That's NLT King James says, and I will pray the Father he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Here Jesus tells us that we are not alone, that the Holy Spirit is our helper to help us do what we're supposed to do. Now, some people think the Holy Spirit's supposed to do everything. Notice it says he is a helper. He doesn't do the work. You do the work. He's the helper. You know, sometimes you can be, they hire, I don't know whether they still do this or not, but whenever I was, you know, teenager and stuff, construction people would hire people to be what they would be a helper. Sometimes they were called a gopher. And especially if they're working up on a ladder, hey, go get this, go get that, because the job gets stopped if they have to come down the ladder, go to the truck, get a tool, or go get another board or whatever they need. But if you got a helper on the ground, he does that for you and then he hands it up to you. The work keeps on going. That's what the Holy Spirit is. He's a helper to help us to help others. He's anointed us to help others. Somebody said, well, I don't feel like I can help someone. Or I don't feel anointed to help someone. It's important we realize that most of the time we don't sense the anointing until we start doing. Hello. In the midst of people working together in unity, God shows up. You know, my hand may be doing something, your hand may be doing something, but there's an unseen hand that's doing something. It's God's hand, the hand of God. Remember, in the day of Pentecost, the upper room, they were all together in one accord, in unity, in harmony. If we are going to bring hope, help, and healing to our world, right here, Broken Arrow is our world. This is our world. If we're going to bring hope, help, and healing here, then we got to work together in unity. We got to reach out and help people. When you see somebody in need, you reach out and help them. Working together brings an increase in the kingdom of God. I saw something on something that somebody, they put it on a Facebook. A lady, her car had stalled in the middle of an intersection. And three teenagers and another man stopped, and they pushed her car over into a parking lot to get it out of the street. But now she didn't have any way to get home, and she didn't have any money to get the car towed and so forth. So the three teenagers pushed the car a mile or so to her house. That's helping somebody. And talk about the kids, this, that, and the other. Hey, that's a good story. News don't ever tell any stories like that. All they got to tell is junk. I better shut up right now. Doing something and working together to help others will make you feel better. Working together makes impossible tasks become possible tasks. Working together, God shows up in our midst with some supernatural stuff. I know this has just been, I don't know whether you call it a message or what you call it, but I tell you one thing, it's something that we need to get a hold of and begin to exercise in the natural help and in our spiritual help. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Everybody stands up. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand more about working together in unity and harmony, helping others, both in the natural and in our church family as well as outside. I thank you, Father, that each of us will accomplish what you have put in our hearts to accomplish. I pray that you'd help us all to work together to accomplish what the vision and what this church is trying to do to bring hope, help, and healing to a hurting people. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. As my clock says, 7:59. So I'm 1 minute quick. Hallelujah. Well, remember, look for somebody to help. Look for somebody to help. My dad used to tell me, he said, son, don't ever pray for God to bless you. Pray that you will be a blessing and help others. And if you do, then you'll be blessed. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord.